This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio. Kim on a whim.
I support artificial intelligence. Kamala Harris will let you know it's AI.
Two words.
I support it because if we as the United States don't take advantage of it and look into ways we can integrate it into our everyday lives, then somebody else will beat us to it. So there is a need, I think, to be able to look into this and use it, because I think it can be used for a lot of good. But I have been also very reluctant to want to rush the process. And I actually don't love the way that the Trump administration has gone about it. They have really embraced it. Now, I'm not saying that they're just, you know, going guns blazing and using it everywhere, but I do feel like they're a very, very friendly, like AI friendly administration, and they kind of ran on that right? Yeah. So there was this story that came up about a Nashville meteorologist. You guys have heard me talk about the fact that I used to work in Nashville. She didn't work at my particular station, but she worked at the competitor. But it's a small business. You kind of know everybody. And anyway, she kind of abruptly left the business after 9 years of working in Nashville, and no one really knew why. Well, now I figured out why. So she goes to the Tennessee, it was the Tennessee House Criminal Justice Subcommittee meeting. And she took the stand on Wednesday, and she was testifying in favor of this bill that would essentially have harsher penalties for people who are stealing your image. So taking your picture off of Facebook or off of Instagram and using it to create these deep fake images. Because she says what happened was, shortly after Halloween last year, hundreds of these fake accounts, particularly on Facebook, she says, but it was also happening on Instagram, started popping up. Kind of describes it like whack-a-mole. It was like she would report one and then 10 more would pop up, and it was overwhelming, where they were taking her face and they were putting them on semi-nude bodies and they were distributing it out, videos of her, and it sounds like there may have been her voice attached using AI saying, "I'm Bree Smith, this is really me," and they would go after her followers. You know, she had tens of thousands of followers because she's a public figure in Nashville. And they were reaching out to her followers and saying, "Hey, you know, can you help me with something?" And then as soon as they would get that person to direct message them, they would get them over to separate apps like Signal, she mentioned, was one of them. The other one was Telegram, which sounds familiar, but I've never used it. Rings a bell, though.
No.
Anyway, and they would try to get the person to pay money to be able to see this content. Now, I'm sure not a lot of people fell for it, but there are certainly some people who would probably be curious enough to want to do something about that. But it's really sad. I want you to listen to some of her testimony again when she was speaking to lawmakers on Wednesday.
"Discovering these imposter accounts and seeing the degrading fake images and videos was devastating to me. But of even greater concern was how these imposter accounts were using these fake images. It wasn't just to degrade and humiliate me. They were tricking people who already followed me on Facebook to send them money and personal information. What if my kids saw something with my face? My face, their mom's face. What if someone bullied them at school and tried to humiliate them because of me?"
She referenced a situation out of, I think, Kentucky, where there was a teen, maybe 13, 14 years old, where something similar happened, where they got a hold of his face, they put it on a body, I guess doing some sort of like sexual act, and they more or less blackmailed him, threatened him, saying, hey, if you don't give us $3,000 or whatever the amount was, we're going to distribute this out. And he committed suicide.
Wow.
Now I understand that's an extreme example, but there is something that needs to be done about this. And I'm not quite sure that I fully understood until I watched her testimony. There really isn't much that can be done about this. Like, if someone were to take your picture, Mark, sure, there's like copyright infringement laws and stuff, but not much. Actually, the way the law is set up right now, not much can be done. Should she reach out to Facebook? I mean, good luck if you've ever tried to reach out to Facebook for anything.
There's no phone number. You
can't
call them.
Don't hold your breath.
No.
She said it was basically just a dead-end road. Every corner she would turn trying to do something, find a solution, nothing. Went to her bosses. They basically said, sorry, nothing we can do, which I'm sure is why she quit. She felt completely unsupported.
Yes, now, abandoned.
Abandoned. And maybe her boss was right. Maybe there isn't much they can do. That's probably not the best answer to give her, considering she said this caused her to go into a depression. But that's ridiculous. Like, shouldn't there be criminal penalties for someone? I understand it's probably hard to catch some of these people.
There should be. Well, I mean, and some of them are going to be local cases. Like, there obviously are higher profile news people in the world than a Nashville news anchor, mm-hmm. right?
Absolutely.
But there are plenty of them. And how did they land on her? What are the odds it was somebody in Croatia who hacked in and found her and decided we're going to target her? Mm-hmm. So either this is more widespread than we know of, and other cases just aren't reported because people don't want publicity, because the minute you get their name attached to a story like that, people are going to start searching for images, right?
Mm-hmm.
They want to see what
curiosity.
It was. And why don't they go after, I don't know, Ainsley on Fox and Friends? Like, there are much higher profile people, and I don't see the stories about them. So I wonder if in other words, what I'm suggesting is some of these may be local hackers that are doing these things.
Mm-hmm.
Those are exactly the people who can be targeted with laws like that.
Right.
So knowing that there's a law against taking somebody's face and putting it on a nude body or a, you know, some suggestive post, that there's a consequence for that that's going to be followed through with, is important.
Mm-hmm.
Like Pam Bondi said yesterday about the people setting fire to these Teslas. When we catch you, and they did catch the guy in Vegas, by the way, we will seek the maximum penalty, which is 20 years, and there will be no plea deals. Zero. If we catch you, you're going down hard for a long time. Those are the kinds of statements law enforcement legislators need to make to deter crime.
100%. In fact, there was a story that Channel 4 did the other day, and they were talking about how a lot of the violent criminals in the city of St. Louis, for whatever reason, are offered plea deals. And I can understand in certain situations why a plea deal would make a lot of sense, but you have to, it begs the question, or is that what you're doing kind of as a, you know, let's not prosecute that. Like, there is a time and a place for a plea deal, and then there are many situations where you need to prosecute the person.
So I was in Alabama recently. Now, since you mentioned that, I'll bring it up. I'm in Alabama. I'm with a friend of mine. His daughter-in-law works for in the court system as an interpreter. And there's, you know, like we have a lot of big law firms here that advertise on billboards. There's a guy down there with a very distinctive last name who's on all the billboards. And her comment to her father-in-law was, those people are never in court, because that's not what it's about. They settle out of court all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the game, right? Let us take your case. We're going to get 25% of the settlement, and we're definitely going to settle it out of court, because why would we waste the man hours on a trial when we can make millions of dollars settling mm-hmm. out of court? And in criminal law, it's not. It's similar. There's a time factor to taking every single case to the courtroom. Just
yeah.
a time factor.
It comes down to money. It's staffing,
yes.
timing, all of, there's a lot of factors, I think. And that's interesting you say that. You don't want to believe that that could be one of the reasons, but I mean, let's be real. We know it is. I mean, you going back to the whole conversation of AI and stuff and these public figures, how often is it happening though to, I almost said Jenny on the Block, and then I realize I'm talking about J-Lo. How often though is it happening to like Joe, your neighbor, or, you know, Sharon, the lady you see at the grocery store? Like, are they always, maybe it's more lucrative to go after the public figures because they know that people would be, there's more curiosity, people are more willing to cough up money to see them.
That's exactly it. That they know you can't get blood out of a turnip. You have to go after people you perceive have money of some sort. You know, I'm shocked at it. I've seen the clickbait on Facebook, the ads, make any picture talk. Have you seen those ads on Facebook?
No.
Where you can, like, take a picture of your grandfather from, you know, the 1950s, and it's black and white photo, and they have imagery that will make, the like, their facial expressions make them move and talk and dance. And
oh, my gosh, no.
Like, you can add action to still pictures. I don't know how they do that. I have no idea how they do that.
See, that's the stuff that scares me about it.
It's frightening. I'm standing over here like John Connor from Terminator looking at you thinking, are you sure this is a good idea? Are you sure this AI stuff can... The question is, can we harness it? Like, my wife thinks this is the greatest thing since sliced bread for applications in her business and in marketing and communications and all that. ChatGPT, where they can help you, you know, summarize paragraphs and things like that.
Polish.
Yeah, polish. You see the polish thing on your computer
help
all the time.
Help me write that. I always get that option if I'm writing an email or something.
You see the advantages of things like that. Yeah. Easy little applications.
I see advantages.
But I also see a situation where the computers are going to outsmart us at some point, and that was the whole story in Terminator, and that John Connor's going to the future, going back in time to try to prevent that from happening. Yeah. Will we put the right safeguards in place?
100%. And where is the line on how many jobs it takes over? Because I think some jobs you should have them doing the work that three people could do because it's not necessary. But where do you draw that line? We can't have AI and these computers and robots taking over all of our jobs.
Kim, the minute the radio industry figures out how to replace us with AI, we're toast.
It was really nice working with you, Mark.
It was great. It was great being here for so long. I'm telling you, just a matter of time.
Get more at 971talk.com.